It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. UW-Madison researchers are kicking off a project that studies an enzyme that could help explain the origins of life on Earth.
Funded by a grant from the Keck Foundation, the research team is looking at nitrogenase, which helps bacteria collect nitrogen, a vital ingredient in, you know, life.
The lead researcher joins us now for a look at the project and how it fits into wider questions of the development and survival of living organisms.
Betul Kachar is an associate professor of bacteriology at UW-Madison and director of the Kachar Lab. Betul, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with this new research now, a particular enzyme that's used in living, I guess, is the main point of it. Tell us about this enzyme and why it's so important to us.
The enzyme under scope is called nitrogenase. It's an enzyme that enabled a lot of the innovations that we see around us today in terms of what the planet enabled. I must say that we are interested in the past, and we are interested in understanding not necessarily what has failed, but what has worked and what worked best under a specific set of conditions. And particularly for this enzyme, this research is about exploring its origins, its evolution, its journey across time, and simply asking ourselves, how are you here after 3 billion years of survival on this planet?
Right. This nitrogenase has been around a long time. What were some of the first organisms, as far as we can tell, that developed this enzyme?
Ooh, that's a very, very important question. When it comes to the earliest stages of life, it's very difficult to understand exactly what the composition of these organisms were, how they look like. But we can extrapolate their behavior based on the rock record and the remnants that we can extract from the rocks and attribute them to certain behavior. When I say that life is really old, I'm talking about 4 billion years. Mm-hmm. So that's good for any of us that feel extremely old these days, that we are actually much younger compared to what life has gone through here. And 4 billion years is we should consider it as 4 billion years of living experience. And the whole point of this research is to understand how life persisted across catastrophes, dramatic shifts. I'm talking changes in the atmosphere, shifts in temperature, changes in oceanic pH, big volcanic eruptions, big fluctuations. How did this enzyme in particular and many other organisms persist? And we are particularly interested in this from not just for the sake of understanding, of course, but how can we distill this information for the benefit of the greater society, for the benefit of our own good.
Yeah, this nitrogenase for those early forms of life and still today is doing something really important. It's taking nitrogen out of the environment. We all need some nitrogen, right, to survive as organisms. And it's not an easy thing for a life form to do. I can't just go out and grab nitrogen out of the atmosphere. Why is this such an important task in the early development of life and to modern agriculture and nutrition?
Yeah, so this is a very important question. That indeed, nitrogenase, this enzyme, is a critical component of the Earth's biosphere, and it's been so for over 3 billion years. Even though it is abundant in the atmosphere on Earth, it's about 80%. Only one enzyme can fix nitrogen, meaning only one enzyme can make it biologically usable, and which really acts as a gateway for life to access this element. We rely on microbes, organisms that we cannot see with naked eye, to do this for us. We can think of them as engines of life. Microbes take this abundant form in the atmosphere and fix it into a usable form for all other organisms, usually by way of plants also, through their relationship that they formed also a really long time ago. Nitrogen is a very important element. It is present in our DNA. It is present in our cells. It is present in ATP, in the form of energy. So we therefore really need this for our own existence.
So parking in modern agriculture for a minute, I hear people talking about, okay, we can plant legumes, beans, and some other plants to fix nitrogen in the soil. When they're doing that, that is using nitrogenase. Is that right?
It is through nitrogenase as well as other components that help nitrogenase to do its job. Cells are very cooperative, right? There's a lot of parts that are interacting with each other within cells. Nitrogenase is definitely a key player, but there's a lot going on within this, within these living systems that actually help the star of the show, so to speak, to do its job. This is very important for agriculture, of course, especially when it comes to higher production or effective production under fluctuating environmental conditions. We will have to make smart decisions about our own bioengineering ideas and our own new technological developments when it comes to mitigating the immediate crises that are awaiting our planet. And how our crops and pretty much everything that we rely on in order to feed ourselves will be affected. It will come down to understanding this enzyme, and it will come down to making it more resilient to enable its persistence under very challenging conditions.
Now let's turn back to the clock, that 4-ish billion years ago. As you look for information about nitrogenase and other early evidence of life on our planet, what kind of evidence remains after all that time?
You would be surprised how stable some of the remnants of early systems can be. We travel to unusual places on Earth. These could be extreme environments, and these could be regular environments that just take a long time to travel, like Australia, and access these fossils that are also representative of really ancient microbes. By studying them, we get a sense of not only how the early life looks like, but also how our planet was billions of years ago. This is important. This is a journey of ourselves, as old as humans have been. You know, as long as we have developed consciousness, we wanted to know our place in the universe. And without a doubt, understanding our place in the universe will necessitate understanding of our own past and history. And nothing is more fundamental than life and its own origin and story itself on this planet.
Now, if I'm a 4-billion-year-old bacteria and I have nitrogenase and I'm transferring nitrogen from the atmosphere, say, into myself, well, I'm helping myself. Am I starting the basics of a food chain where other organisms, maybe without this enzyme, are using some of that nitrogen that I fixed using this enzyme?
So let's get the record straight. First of all, we don't know whether the earliest life actually had a nitrogenase 4 billion years ago. We know that nitrogen can be fixed, meaning it could be made available for life through completely non-living phenomena like lightning. Lightning can produce fixed nitrogen. The problem is that it is not sufficient. So we think that the early organisms and early ecosystems with the increased amount and increased complexity necessitated a response from biology. And thankfully, biology responded to this through this amazing enzyme that actually is able to now fix nitrogen much more efficiently than lightning or the planetary system itself can. So you're looking at a section where, you know, you can get this sort of fixation or availability through geology, but at some point you fall off a cliff, and that's when biology responds. And so nitrogenase and this enzyme in particular, like many other examples out there, is a great example, really, of how the planet is able to respond to demands of the environment. So we are looking at a complex ecosystem. You're looking at a lot of microbes, but Earth, again, is very different. We don't have the land like we know it. We don't have soils. We don't have plants. We think early planet was pretty much an oceanic system with a lot of microbial activity. So microbes are not only our true ancestors, but they are really the true owners of this planet. I like to think that if you don't like microbes, you are living on the wrong planet.
We're talking about new research into life's origins with Betul Kachar, Associate Professor of Bacteriology at UW-Madison. Betul, when I've talked to you in the past, you're looking at Earth's distant history, right, the origins of life here, but you're also looking at possible evidence for, you know, what we're looking for if we're trying to find life on other planets. What kind of things are we learning from our origins on Earth that's helping us look at wherever else in the solar system we can look at?
We are absolutely very interested in helping NASA and other studies looking for life and signs of life elsewhere in the universe, starting with our solar system. And there's no better guide than our own past and our own history. The punchline here, and I hope that I really want the listeners to take this from me, that our own ancient planet itself is an alien place. It's different. Its temperature is different. Its biota is different. Everything about it is different. In fact, you and I wouldn't be able to survive on this planet. Yet we know life survived. It thrived, in fact, in these environments. So one of the main reasons also why we are so interested in understanding early life and evolution is also to assist studies for looking for life elsewhere in the universe. And in fact, for instance, when we look at our nearest cousin, sister planet Mars, our understanding the history of our own planet becomes extremely important. That Mars creates a great comparison point. It's almost, you can imagine, a planet that is arrested in development. It captures our own planet's past really well. So by studying Mars and comparing it with our own present life and its own past, we are going to be gaining more insights as to what enables life's survival and what will enable its own sustenance in the future.
I understand you and your team last year published a cookbook of recipes and ingredients, not for our kitchen, but that could be the sparks for life on a planet, or I guess a moon or what have you. How many recipes are there potentially for creating life?
Well, more than we think and that's our publication. More than we think there are recipes. I think there are a lot of lost recipes too. So life is a form of chemistry, right? I like to think that this is the only place where you can study biology, planet Earth. You can study chemistry pretty much every other planet, but this is the only place where we can be a biologist. And interestingly, biology is also a form of chemistry. The biology is chemistry with memory. It retained its memory for billions of years, and it is able to respond to its environment. It's able to come up with solutions in the face of challenges. So understanding origin of life becomes a very big biotechnology problem. It is not necessarily understanding how it happened at first place, but how could happen and what is the capability of life given the environment, given the choice. In our paper, we suggested that, and we've shown that as well, that the early chemistry and the early chemical diversity of this planet could enable variety of different pathways for life and early metabolisms to take place. And these chemistries are very well present on different planets within our solar system and beyond.
I wanted to ask you about the idea of detecting life, because it seems like there's a good chance that if we were somehow to encounter life on another planet, maybe in our solar system, it wouldn't walk up to us and say hi. It might be a slight statistical variation in chemical compositions that points to the evidence of life. How hard could it be to find life, even if it is out there?
This is one of the most exciting times, I think, for us to be asking this question. We absolutely need technology in order to assist our own pursuit for life, right? We need to be able to observe. For that, we need high-resolution telescopes. We need to be able to visit these places. For that, we need a more effective, affordable way of doing so. And we need to guide our exploration through science. So this is, again, when all these three criteria got together in this very time. That's why I think our the future is incredibly exciting when it comes to exploring our own place in the universe. The thing about microbes, and that's what makes them exciting and important, is that they are able to shape the color of the planet as well. As you said, we are not looking for someone waving back at us. Well, unless, you know, maybe for according to Hollywood, yes, because I guess it will be hard to find microbial actors. Humans still make better actors. But when it comes to understanding a planet, the color and the composition of the atmosphere, the gases, and what is really going to create that sign of, hey, look at me, there's something really interesting going on here, is going to come through the understanding of the diversity of microbes on this planet and what it is capable of. And that's why I think search for life is a very exciting field. It is really an exciting marriage between technology and basic science. It leads to different technologies, but it also leads to ever more interesting questions that we did not even know how to ask regarding life we have here on this planet.
A common theme in science fiction, and I think more scientific thought now, is the idea that, okay, if we can get to another planet without life, we could potentially terraform it, create the conditions for life on it. You did a talk at one point, I'm not sure how far back, not just asking could we, but also should we, looking at sort of the ethics of terraforming, of creating life on a new planet. What are some of the things you think about?
The idea is to understand the planet for what it is, and that's where the research is at the moment. For us to understand the chemistry that led to life on this planet, that this is why it becomes extremely important. Astrobiologists like to ask themselves, and we study these problems, what is the chemical cocktail that I need for creating any interesting chemistries in the lab that could have its own sustainability over long time periods? What sort of chemical composition should a planet have, for example, for it to give birth to life as we know it? And the idea then should be to truly understand the planet prior, or maybe even way before, and without even thinking about what sort of similar life forms we can carry to this place. We should understand the planets for what they are and treat their own conditions and try to understand and integrate their own histories when we study their chemistries.
Now, as you mentioned earlier, we can only study biology right now on planet Earth. You made the choice to ask these questions and do this work in Wisconsin, here in Wisconsin at UW-Madison. Why here?
I'm extremely happy to be here, especially the investment of Wisconsin and the interest within the state, and especially rooted through the Wisconsin idea that the understanding science for the sake of humanity and for the greater service is very important. Especially considering the huge history of Wisconsin when it comes to agriculture and nitrogen fixation and understanding the basic properties of nitrogen fixation. There's almost over a century old history here in Madison. But at the same time, we have a very exciting Origin of Life community here that is composed of chemistry, astronomy, geosciences, as well as microbiology. A lot of different researchers that happened to come here over the last decade that I think created a really amazing hotbed for this sort of work to propel forward. And I'm really excited to be a part of it, and I'm very grateful for the support.
As we wrap up, Betul, what's the timeline now for this nitrogenase research? It's early days. What's the schedule?
Yes, with two other colleagues from the Department of Bacteriology and Chemical Engineering, we are going to be scaling our biotechnological forces. We have a very exciting team of graduate students, undergraduates, postdoctoral researchers, and staff researchers involved. It's a big team. This sort of big ideas seldom work alone, right? Science is a very collaborative process. And we have about 3-4 years ahead of us in order to bring this to fruition. But of course, we are very ambitious and we want to get there sooner. And hopefully I will be in touch with you also regarding our exciting results very soon.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Betul Kachar is an associate professor of bacteriology at UW-Madison. Been talking about her work on the origins of life on Earth and what it can mean for the search for life elsewhere.